Hi, Mom. My name is Morgan, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi.
Tonight, I'm going to share my experience with steps 7, 8, and 9. And just to backtrack, starting at 1, I came in here and I couldn't stop, and I wanted to stop, and I needed to stop, and I still couldn't stop, according to my past experience and my history in trying to stop. So at that point, I was willing to believe what everyone else in here said, that a higher power was keeping them sober. I was willing to just give it a shot. And when I made a decision to turn over my will and my life, I had no idea what that meant, but I was willing to proceed with the rest of the steps. And my sponsor told me that's a decision, you know, made a decision, and that was it. So when I got to step 4, I made that list of all the people I was resentful at, all the people I had harmed, and I read it to my sponsor in my 5th step. While I was going through that, all feelings were coming up. I didn't realize what was going on. I didn't realize how irritable I was, how much unhappier I was during this stage, and I didn't connect the dots. But when I went into my 5th step, afterwards, I think I felt a little more peaceful, like I wasn't carrying so much around. It just wasn't so much baggage and so heavy, and I wasn't such a horrible person. But in my 5th step, my sponsor sat across from me and came at me in a loving way and didn't talk down to me. And that made my heart open to hearing what she was actually saying and not blocking it out. And that was crucial for me to go from 6 to 9, because if I had heard it another way, and if I would have shut this out, I wouldn't be willing to do the rest of them. I wouldn't understand how important it was for me to give up these character defects that she wrote down for me on paper in black and white. And I had heard them before, and I had seen them before. And in my head, they were all there, but I couldn't do anything about them. And I didn't realize the extent into which they were controlling my life. So the approach she took, I think, was crucial for me, because I had an old sponsor who did it in a different way, which may work for some people, but it was very, are you kidding me? Was one of the comments that actually came out during my 5th step. And that, I don't know if I blocked it off, or I didn't want to hear it, or how dare you, whatever my head turned to, it was a different experience this time. So, my sponsor wanted me to, she kept saying she wanted me to do my 5th and 6th steps before I had my daughter. And it just so happened that I did my 5th step, went home, I did my 6th step, I sat for an hour. I did my 7th step prayer, and then the next day I went into labor. So it was very vague going back. I was feeling a lot of emotions. I was all over the place. But, my sponsor and God worked together, and we got that done before I had my daughter. And I really don't know what was going through me when I took my 7th step. I know that I put it into my own words that I can understand. I know that I really enjoyed doing that, because someone once told me on my 3rd step, what does that mean to you? And I gave this textbook answer of what I thought it should be said as. And she said, no, make it personal to you. And I couldn't. I just literally could not come up with the words. But when I did it with my sponsor, she told me, section by section, break it down. And that was a lot easier for me to do than to read this whole prayer and say, what does that mean to you? I had no concept of what it was actually telling me. So when I went little piece by little piece, all I was doing was breaking down a few words, and they all just fit together and molded something that I could truly understand. After I took that 7th step, I still felt exactly the same. Like I said, I don't know if I knew the extent of what I was doing. I don't know if I just did it because she told me to do it, and I was willing. I was willing to know that I couldn't do things my own way. Some things were objectionable to me. I was stealing, I was lying, I was cheating. I was doing all these things that weren't sitting right. And the main ones, like those, I could see, and I didn't want to do anymore. So I think when I took that, I was more focused on the big stuff. Stealing from my family, stealing from stores, cheating on my boyfriend, all that stuff I wanted to stop so bad once I put down the drink, but I couldn't physically get myself to do it. Just like in my step 1, I no matter how bad I wanted to. I just couldn't put it down, and then I couldn't understand why. So, like I said, I went into labor on my seventh step, and all those character defects were really going crazy. And then I came out, and I was still, like, I was aware. The step seven made me aware of what was going on. I came out, and I was very selfish. I was very impatient. I was demeaning. Like, these things were, like, sticking out to me on an everyday basis when they never had before. The big stuff used to stick out to me, but now it was the little things that weren't sitting right. And I believe that's where I was awakened to these stuff, because for me, I have to be awake and I have to see them. I have to be objectionable to them before I'm even going to ask a higher power to take them from me. You know, all the stuff I did in 5 and 6, which wasn't easy to sit down and look at myself and see all these things that I was made up of, really, and really not want to be that person anymore. And ask my God to please, like, honestly, ask Him, take these from me. I can't do it. You know, I couldn't stop these things, and I didn't want to be them anymore. So if God could take my drinking away, God could take away these character defects. And that gave me a sense of maybe, like, relief that it wasn't up to me anymore. You know, there were certain things I had to change about what I was doing. But in all, I wasn't able to remove my own character defects. But some things were taken right away, like stealing from a store. Since I've done my seventh step, I have not shoplifted from a store. I have not cheated on my boyfriend. That was me. I was made up of those things. And they were completely lifted from me. And just like the drink, it hasn't been a thought to want to do that since, which is incredible in itself. And then there's other things that weren't taken right away, but those things I believe that I really grow from. You know, the things that I clawed onto and wouldn't let go are my biggest teachers today. I needed some more pain, suffering, you know, still, like, being sober and still being miserable, like, really miserable, a feeling where you don't know what to do with yourself, miserable, over these character defects and this control and this trying to play God on other people's lives. And slowly it was kind of like a process of being revealed to these things and wanting to have them removed. So after that, I went to my eighth step and I made index cards of all the people on my resentment list. And I wrote out, I've harmed you in this way. And I put into detail the things that is what I would say to that person. And I wrote out those harms that I had caused. And I wrote on the back, is there anything else that I don't know about? Any other harms I could have caused? And is there anything I could do to make it right? And, you know, I did that for everyone on my list. And in that, it was truly a spiritual experience for me, and it all became very personal. You know, each person had something different written down, and in an ideal way, it's what I would have said. It's not exactly what I said, but it was good to have that reference and not go in there blinded and not, because I was so full of fear at this point where I didn't feel that connection with God. And at times I didn't feel His power in me to go and do this. Like, I got stuck in fear. Conversations with people is, like, one of the scariest things for me. To tell you how I'm feeling, to admit I'm wrong, was a really big deal. But if that embarrassment and that fear is what I have to go through to feel this peace that everyone talks about in the rooms and to experience those nine step promises that they read at the beginning, then I was willing to do it. You know, I had to go to my family and remake amends. So the willingness there was kind of like, it was easy because they were my family, but to have to do it again after I said I was sorry and then committed the same acts was, even more humility. It was a little bit of a blow to my ego that I said the same things and, like, what if they don't believe me now sort of thing. But I believe step 8 was so crucial for me, because I wouldn't have went through with 9 if I didn't have step 8, if I didn't sit there with those cards and reread over and over again my harms, my part. you know, not look at the front of the page, but in going to 9, I had to reread those and bring them into prayer because, like I said, fear was everywhere. And if I wasn't willing, then I believe for me, I would have to go back and look at my step 1 and my step 3 and my step 7, all of those, because do I really understand what is going on here? And do I really see how powerful this alcohol is, and that it's not just the alcohol, that it's my character defects that we have to deal with, and my old wreckage? And am I willing to not do those things again? Am I willing to change the person I am, and where I destroyed everything, come in and bring love? Like, was I really able to do that at this point? And then I started making amends, you know, to my family first. You know, we go mom, sister, brother, grandma, all the easy ones that I could see where I was wrong in those. You know, they were in my life every day. I stole from them, I lied to them, I hit them. And that I could clearly see was wrong. But when it got down to, like, my father, who wasn't in my life, didn't even know or didn't even say anything about my drug use, and what did I have to apologize for there? You know, so I made the direct amends to my closer family. And then my father, I think I shared it in this room, my sponsor told me just I couldn't think of what I did. And it's weird because my first sponsor, I was at the 9-step before I relapsed again, and she was sitting there hysterical crying in the car because she knows my father. She's my step-cousin. Hysterical crying, like, this man is sick. Like, do you not you know what he's going through. Do you not understand where your part is? How you could help him, how this or that. And I remember sitting there like, I want to cry so bad right now. Like, I want to be able to cry. You know, like wanting to tears to come down my face to show I cared or whatever the case might be, and I just couldn't. I couldn't feel in my heart what she was feeling for my father. I couldn't feel it for my own father. So I left it blank, and his fiance called me about a month ago, and for the first time in my life, I heard it out of someone's mouth. What was really going on with him. You know, it was always in my head, he's drinking, he's dying. I guess it made it real when she actually said it. And she said that he flat out told me he won't stop for anyone. So I wanted to help him. Like, from the bottom of my heart, for the first time, I had compassion for him. I didn't look down at him. I wasn't angry for what he'd done. And to make amends is the conclusion that came from God, because that was not me. You know, a conversation with this man that I don't even know is beyond frightening. And I didn't want to do what everyone else did and threaten him and tell him what he's doing to himself and tell him he's dying and how could he do this and there's so much to live for. And all that stuff that people that aren't in AA are approaching him with, and he's disconnected from it. He's not hearing any of it. So I went and I made amends for not reaching out to him more. You know, I had asked for $30. I gave him back the $30. Knowing what he was going to do for it, that was okay. For the first time, that didn't bother me at all. And in the past, it would have been like, why would I give him $30 for him to go get beer? And it was just a conversation. And he said, no, I could have done the same. It was just purely a conversation, and nothing bothered me from the past with that anymore. And then for the living amends, I still reach out to him. I'm not going to apologize for not reaching out and trying to have a relationship with him, and then go back to my old behavior of living my own life, and I'll talk to you, you know, every 6 months and see you on Christmas. So I would call him. If he didn't answer, that was fine. You know, I would call again. And now he's calling me weekly, which is amazing, because he wasn't able to do that in the beginning, you know. With my mother, I made amends with her, and she cut me off a little bit. I thought I had finished, apparently not, because she came up to me a few months later and told me, okay, I'm ready for your amends now. I was totally convinced, like, it was all well and done. So I was caught off guard there, but you know what? God has a better plan, because there was something I totally left out, how I had stolen her grandmother's watch and pawned it. And that was left out in my first amends. And without her approaching me and saying I'm ready for another one, I don't know if I ever would have brought that to face, you know. At this point, my daughter was 3, maybe 4 weeks old, and I was going out there and making amends because I realized my life depended on it. I would have loved the fact that I have this newborn baby and I love her with everything in my heart, to be enough to keep me sober. But the reality is it's not. You know, I hear a lot more women in here say, I shouldn't be doing this to my kids over, my kids never saw me pick up. And in doing those amends, I can't even describe it, just like freedom from self, you know? The humility part, I never understood the definition of humility until I read, like, it's not that we think less of ourselves, but we just think of ourselves less. And in humility, I try to go and help other people, which is something out of my nature, something I don't know how to do. And I get, like, through step 9, which I still have more amends, and I made sure last week to do another one because I knew I was speaking, but I still got a few more. I get just this piece where I like myself. For the first time in my life, like, I don't hate myself, you know, and I never thought that was possible. I used to hear people share in meetings about, like, how good their life was and this and that, and go on and on about what they have now. And when I was new and sitting there, I didn't want to hear it. You know, like, I want to die every single night. I don't know how to stop killing myself slowly. And you telling me you have all this money and a nice car and your family back, like, it doesn't, I don't know. It was just, it didn't seem real to me. I forgot where I was going with that, but I guess today now I have, like, those nights of promises. I came out of rehab. I had nowhere to live. I was 4.5 months pregnant. I had no job. None of my family wanted anything to do with me. And we have relationships today. You know, I just signed a paper yesterday, a release form to move in next week. And the family doesn't want, my boyfriend's family doesn't want us to move. And that isn't a miracle in itself. Like, they did not by any means want us in that house. You know, I was on DSS to pay for it. With my sister's amends, I was on DSS and I saved the money to make amends. I got $50 every 2 weeks and I paid her back $130. Took me a little bit of time, but those are the lengths that I'm willing to go to experience this freedom. And if I would have known how I would feel now, then I would have jumped right into it. You know, like, I didn't know I could possibly feel this good, not all the time, but most of the time, or even some of the time, is better where I was at when I was out there drinking or trying on my own willpower to stop. But thank you for letting me share, and I'd like to hear from everyone here.